Broadband internet is becoming a necessary part of a community's infrastructure, but some places in Wisconsin don't have access. Larry Mueller here. You're listening to WPR News. We're talking about the work being done to improve broadband across our state. And our guest today is Alyssa Kenny. She is the Wisconsin Broadband and Digital Equity Director for the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. And as we talk with Alyssa, I hope you'll join in. Do you have broadband in your area? How's it helped your community? Is it not good? What has broadband meant for your business? You can reach us at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Alyssa Kenny, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and talk about broadband.
So what's happening with broadband internet across Wisconsin?
I'm so glad you asked. It's a very exciting time. For the past 4 years, Governor Evers has really made broadband investments a priority. And we've seen both state and federal funding for broadband expansion grow just exponentially over the last 4 years. And so we've had hundreds of millions of dollars of investment, and we have a lot of projects going on right now. And then with the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, we had an additional huge amount of federal funding allocated to the state of Wisconsin to really help get us to fully that internet for all and universal service. And so we have a bunch of state projects that are in progress and connecting people every day. And then we have a lot of federal money coming to really finish the job and get internet to everyone.
Yeah, that's great. So how many areas, or are there certain areas of Wisconsin that really lack broadband internet?
Boy, every single county in the state of Wisconsin has some locations that need improved service. You certainly see, north of Highway 10 and in southwestern Wisconsin, some slightly higher concentrations, but broadband and high-speed internet is just, it's not distributed equally. And sometimes you can have one side of the road with great broadband and the other side of the road not connected. And so those locations are really sprinkled throughout, but certainly where the population gets a little sparse, it tends to have less good internet.
So, and here I probably should have asked this right away, but we got an email from Clarice. What is broadband internet?
That's a great question. And so broadband's definition has actually, I've just been in this job for 5 years and the definition has changed. And the state definition and the federal definition also are even a little different. And so that generally when people are talking about broadband, they're talking about a certain speed and then a certain thing called latency, which is kind of like the lag you might see. And so often now what people use as the standard is 100 megabits down and 20 megabits up. But what I really like to say is broadband is, it's the internet people need to fully participate in digital society. And that might be changing over time, but it's really a connection that's not just adequate, but substantial to do the types of things that everyone's doing online, whether that be shopping or telemedicine or participating in school on a snow day. If you need it to do those things, it's broadband.
So what are the different ways that broadband is delivered to homes?
Right. So there's sort of three big categories. One category is called wireline. And so that's most often we see fiber or cable, or people might have many years ago used DSL or copper lines, sort of a phone line. And so that's an actual physical wire that goes from a residence or a business and connects to the internet. And then there's a lot of folks who use fixed wireless, and that that looks a lot like a cell phone service, but it comes from a tower to a radio to the home. But unlike a cell phone service, it's not designed to be mobile. It's designed to just serve that single location. And then there's people in the state who have satellite service. And so that's getting their internet from a satellite way up in the sky. And that service tends to be both the most expensive and have the highest issues with kind of quality and latency and data caps.
Maybe we should talk a bit about the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. Maybe talk more about it and what you're responsible for.
Sure. And so maybe I could say that the Wisconsin Broadband Office, we live at the Public Service Commission. We are on the same team as the people who do telecommunications work. But broadband is not regulated. It is the state has sort of no authority to control the pricing. We don't, we can't require a certain internet service provider to provide us information, or we can't require them to build in a certain location or serve certain customers. And so largely what we do in the state is we administer grant funds to really drive broadband deployment in areas of the state where there's underserved or locations that either have no broadband or they have really inadequate internet and need improvements. And so one of the biggest things we do is administer funds to providers who are building where it's most needed. The other thing we do is a lot of mapping and community building, because the data around broadband is getting much better, but there's been a lot of challenges. And so a key function of our office is to really map exactly where broadband is so we can be really precise in where we deploy any funding to get it better.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Alyssa Kenny, our guest today from PSC of Wisconsin. She leads the broadband and digital equity for the Public Service Commission. Great to have her with us. And questions, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to talk@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Randy in La Crosse, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, thanks. Well, I got in right away. I grew up in Minnesota, and I know that Minnesota passed a law. I don't know if it's still in effect, but it banned municipalities from doing their own internet, which St. Paul was talking about doing. And I know that Chattanooga, Tennessee has one of the best internet services in the country. It's also fairly cheap, and it's owned by the city. And I know a bunch of different states have passed laws that you can't do it. I don't know if Wisconsin has done that. And if they haven't done that, why not put some money into locally owned internet services instead of being gouged by the big boys?
All right, Randy, you raised some issues there. Alyssa, what about it?
Right, so Wisconsin does have some statute and some rules on the books that make it difficult but not impossible for a municipality to become an internet service provider. And so I think you would put us in the category of a state that has some barriers. States need to complete a study. They need to provide some notice. And so it is not easy necessarily for a community to just decide to become an internet service provider. That said, the federal funding that's coming to the state, municipalities are an eligible entity. And I would say what we've seen in Wisconsin increasingly that's been really successful is a public-private partnership model where the local community or the local government really gets involved in driving the scope of the project, works closely with an internet service provider on making sure things like fire stations and public safety answering points have redundancy and really sufficient connections. And maybe they put even in some local dollars, but they really work in a partnership. And so we've seen not a lot of municipal broadband in the state, but we have seen some really strong public-private partnerships where the local community really has a little bit of a voice in the project and creates some accountability and drives the scope of those projects.
Randy, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. James in Fountain City will go to you. Hi, James.
Hi. Say, thanks for my call. We are getting, I live semi-rural south of Fountain City. We're getting fiber optic lines run. They're in the process right now. In the funding that took place on this, because we had some public meetings we went to, it's being provided by, well, the Cochrane Telephone Company. It's a private entity. But we are being charged. I mean, you know, the federal government supplied some funding for this.
Mm-hmm.
But we are being charged individually as homeowners for the remainder of this. And, you know, I'm comparing apples to oranges here, but I have friends that live up 12 miles south of Bemidji. They're way out in the boondocks. And they have a telephone cooperative that ran fiber optic lines to their house with no charge whatsoever. Mm. You know, a monthly charge for the use of it, obviously, but no charge for installation. And we're getting nailed for all this installation stuff. And I'm just curious, how is that determined who pays for these installation charges?
Okay, Alyssa, comment?
Yeah, those sort of installation charges, and also I would say what a standard installation might be, they vary company by company. And sort of as I mentioned, it's unregulated. And so different, these are largely businesses or co-ops. They choose their own policies. And we see in the state of Wisconsin a lot of what I would consider kind of line extension problems, where people with exceptionally long driveways, they might even be passed by internet, but the cost to get up their long driveway is very high. And some providers, they all sort of have their own installation cost policies. I will say largely the Public Service Commission, when we fund grants, we kind of do fund to the property, but not necessarily all the way to the home. We let whatever the provider's standard installation policy that they would provide to any other customer would stand for any Public Service Commission grant also. But there's an incredible amount of variability about what different providers do and how they manage those installation costs, and particularly in communities with long driveways, or maybe in your case, Granite Bluffs and other beautiful Wisconsin geography.
Yeah, there you go, James. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@wpr.org. You can talk with Alyssa Kenny, who leads broadband and digital equity for the PSC of Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're talking broadband access in the state of Wisconsin with Alyssa Kenny, who leads broadband and digital equity for the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. Great to have Alyssa with us. And again, join in with your own questions or comments. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org. Kim emailed. She has a second home in northern Wisconsin in Oneida County, just north of Rhinelander. There's no broadband or high-speed internet available in that area. She'd love to work from home there and potentially move there, but she can't without that internet connection. And she just wonders when they might have broadband in that area in Oneida County, just north of Rhinelander.
That's a great question. So I will say I hate to tell people who just told me they don't have great internet or they have no internet. We do have a great map on the commission website called the Broadband Grant Footprint, where you can see if your location has funding and what the expected completion date. And so one thing is just to check, because as I started with, there are a lot of open projects in this state, and there's a tremendous amount of investment in construction and growth right now. And so there are a lot of locations that don't, about 200,000 locations that we know of that are getting broadband in the next few years. You know, they have a contract, they have a grant, they're their building. And so maybe your home is in that location and you know. Additionally, we have those federal funds. They're called those BEAD dollars as part of Internet for All. And those are really designed to get the state to every location. I do want to mention broadband takes a while, and federal dollars and large grants, the administration. So these will not come, you know, people will not have connections from these new federal dollars in a year or two. It will take 4 years probably to really fully award all those dollars and build out all that broadband. These are both big projects, and they're really in some of our remotest and hardest to serve areas of the state. And so, unfortunately, or fortunately, broadband is all connected. And so you tend to get to the hardest locations last, because that's just how network building goes.
Reminds me of everything from electricity, where the rural areas were kind of the last to get the electricity, and telephones service way back in the day. And these things take time to build out, as you say. Linda in Delavan, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that I live in a rural part of Walworth County in Delavan. And in Whitewater, there is now a company called Edge, and they are providing fiber optic all over this county. And I think a couple other counties, and they are phenomenal. You can call them. You actually get to talk to a person. And they did not charge any installation fee. And they have three different plans, and they're all affordable. I just want to give a shout out to them. And if anybody has the option, use them.
And the name of the company again?
Edge.
Edge.
E-D-G-E. Yes. They're great.
Oh. Alyssa, comment.
You know, what a great comment, and I love to hear. And I will say there are over 112 internet service providers in the state of Wisconsin. So you see sort of the big main carriers that you're used to that you might get telephone service from. But there are many small providers that are providing fiber to the home, that are providing, you know, co-ops. And so we do have a lot of providers. And so I always really encourage folks to look through all their available options and not, you know, and compare the prices. And I'm so glad to hear you're having such a positive experience with that provider.
Julie in the town of Primrose emailed, she lives in rural Southwest Dane County. Her internet is 4 down and 1 up. She said, yes, that's right. The irony of that is TDS, her provider, ran high-speed internet cable in the easement along their property, and when asked if it meant she'd be getting high-speed internet, she was told that it was just to get the high-speed internet from one town to another. Any chance there will be improvement in the Southwest Dane County anytime soon?
You know, I can't speak to particular locations, but we really are moving towards that internet for all in the state. We have 200,000 locations in progress. We have federal funding for kind of that final 200,000. And so it is coming. We hear this type of complaint quite a bit, though, where folks, basically it's like a middle mile, the internet's running right by their house, but it's not a residential service. It's sort of like a long haul or a long run piece. And it's so frustrating to have the internet, as somebody said, so close you can smell it, but not have it delivered to your house. And that's about sort of network design. And I'm sorry, but I do hope it's coming. And even places like Dane County have thousands of locations that still need service.
Yeah. Jane emailed, she lives out in the county south of Sun Prairie and east of Easttown, and Spectrum upgraded it to 5G several months ago, installed a new cable line to the house and a new TV receiver. And since then, her internet's been slower and her TV pixelates at random times. She's wondering, why is it slower than 4G? And that might have something to do with her own equipment that she has in the house.
That could definitely be a possibility that something needs to be updated. But I would definitely say reach out directly to your provider and, you know, do the technical help ticket and do what you can to improve that.
Yeah, because if the equipment you have, the TV or whatever you have in your house, isn't quite a bit have the ability to handle 5G, I could see where that might be a problem. But yeah, you're right. It's worth it definitely to talk to somebody from the company. Are there benefits, or if there are benefits? I'll see. This is really worded weird. So I'm going to. What are the benefits to fiber optic internet over standard internet service?
Sure. So fiber optic is threads of glass. So it's internet that travels at the speed of light, whereas some other internet might be traveling at the speed of sound. It tends to be the internet that sort of is what people might call future-proof or has like a much longer lifespan. So it's not going to, it needs sort of less repair potentially, or it doesn't sort of go out of, it's just a lot more upgradable. So fiber is, you know, it's actually becoming the standard in many, many places. It's what most people are installing now when anything new is coming. And so it's in some ways a sort of preferred, more future-proof thing, but it's often in the state of Wisconsin is buried along the road. And so there are places where populations are too sparse, or there's wetlands or cranberry bogs or things that are really important where a different technology like fixed wireless or even satellite might be most appropriate.
Yeah, that makes sense too. Eric in Lincoln County, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Being a normally suspicious person and dealing with corporations, I always wonder, when we're always talking about tax dollars and grants and how our tax dollars are supporting this infrastructure, what kind of responsibility these corporations have? And they have no problem putting in cellular in a city or a town that has multiple locations all close together. But, you know, in the old days, it didn't take long to electrify the whole country, and broadband really has the importance now of what electricity back in the day, since you can't do anything financially or otherwise without broadband.
So, yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you, Eric. Comment, Alyssa?
Sure. So I will say we are incredibly strict in the locations that we provide funding for. So we make extra sure that we are providing dollars and public dollars, and I would say only to locations that really don't have service. So we're not funding where there's existing service or there's options for folks or the internet's sufficient. We're really putting those public dollars in just to places that are really not having service. And then additionally, we're not necessarily funding the whole network, because we know that this is a business that will charge customers eventually. We're trying to fund only the part of it that's going to get them to kind of meet their business model or to sort of get to a commercially viability, just like rural electrification, maybe yeah. A little different than rural electrification. Mm-hmm. So we are really careful about where we put those public dollars. We hold those providers incredibly accountable for every penny they spend. We look at all their expenses and reimburse only for those locations. And we really try to drive the dollars where public dollars are needed to get the investment in those communities.
Yeah. By the way, the broadband map, how do people find that map? I went on to it and I thought it was very useful and easy to use.
So go to that, our Public Service Commission website, and then you've got to choose broadband and then our map. And we have a number of really great mapping resources, a planning map for local communities, a Wisconsin broadband map for people to see their service. They are a bit technical and they are online, but they're really, they're nice if people want to understand some of the many exciting things happening with broadband in the state.
Well, I'm glad that we're putting a lot of effort into this, Alyssa, and I want to thank you for your work and for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a great opportunity.
Alyssa Kenny leads broadband and digital equity for the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. Go online to the PSC and look up that map. And there's other information in there as well. Thanks so much for listening, and a big thanks to our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and our executive producer, by the way, is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller again. Thank you for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.